Fantastic. Amen. Well, it's time for the word. Let's give Pastor Roma a big hand as he comes up here this evening.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand up one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on now. Don't get quiet on me now. Praise God. Lift your hand. Bless God. Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You know how to praise the Lord? The Bible said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You know how to make a joyful noise? What do you do when your favorite team wins? Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the way to do it. Amen? Amen. You know, you don't have to have any kind of style or, you know, you can just go ahead and praise God. Amen. Didn't say you have to have this style, 2018 style. Now we're doing it this way. You know, the Bible, people sort of shouted back then. It's the same style you do it today. Praise God. Amen. The Bible says, give a shout unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. So we give him praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. We're learning. We're learning how to give God praise. You know, we're easy learners. Praise God. Now, last week, remember last week? How many people remember that long ago? It's been a long time ago. So, we were here Sunday, and we talked about believing and receiving. So, we said, believe and receive, or doubt and do without. And we mentioned that doubting has been the greatest robber of many Christian people. And we saw Israel as a type and shadow of the individual Christian or the church at large. Two people believed what they were told by God, that they'd take the land. Over in Numbers 13, you remember Numbers 13? The Bible says they went over to Kadesh Barnea, and they began to search the land as they were told. Moses said, go out there and look at the land, see what it's looked like. See if what kind of land it is. So they all went out there, just 12 spies. They pick up one spy from each one, go and check it out. The Bible said they all come back after a certain time, and they began to give their report. Now the question is, what kind of report will you give when you are spying your own land and what God has told you that you'd have? And so over, the scripture says in that 13th chapter there, 10 of them returned to give a report, and they gave a report of fear and doubt. They said, we cannot take the land because the people there are stronger than us. They got cities that are walled, fences. They're too great for us to deploy our troops to take this. And so they put fear in other people. The Bible says that these 10 people affected a whole generation. I wonder if the church is being affected by people who are unbelieving in the city. How many of us are not believing God? There might be the majority out there, but there's just a few. Maybe you might find them here somewhere. Maybe just a few of them that believe that anything is possible. Can you say amen? Amen. Is anything possible? As Jesus said, there's all things are possible to him that doubts. All things are possible to him that just prays. No. All things are possible for him who believes. Gives money. No. Who works hard. No. To them that believe. Amen. Believe. So you have to believe. So we've been talking about believing and receiving. And we kind of went along with the scriptures that we gave you and the two scriptures, and we talked about a very small word, and it's called doubt. So let's go to our verse, Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Everybody say, believe and receive.
Believe and receive.
Everybody say, believe and receive.
Believe and receive.
Or doubt.
And
do without. For verily I say to you, Jesus is talking to his disciples, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, now he's speaking figuratively, he's not talking necessarily about a physical mountain, but he's also using a physical mountain as an employment of illustration of what, you know, a mountain is humongous and people feel, you know, they can't, you know, naturally move a mountain by themselves. It would be impossible. So Jesus is using a mountain figuratively about humongous problems you might have. You might have a financial mountain that you're trying to get rid of. You might have a marriage problem. You might have a mental health situation that's been bothering you. Maybe you got a health situation that you cannot, the doctors told you there's something that you can't get healed from. And maybe you're born a certain way and you receive certain, you know, things about it. And I read, you know, scripture, I've been reading Deuteronomy 28 and very carefully, and I've been studying that over some months, that there's various kinds of diseases there that are enumerated for us by God to show us that in verse 61, that every sickness and every disease, not even written there, dim the Lord will permit to become upon you if you're walking under the curse. If you have to read Deuteronomy 28, you ever, how much, anybody ever read that chapter? You read it every morning? You know, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 to verse 15, catalogs for us number of ailments that one might suffer. Then he goes on to tell us that there are even some diseases that are not even written in there yet. They're being produced as we go along. More and more sicknesses being produced. Some of which people cannot be healed from. Naturally talking. So when you're reading Deuteronomy 28, you have to read it in light of your redemption. And that redemption is found, you know, over in the New Testament. We're New Testament believers. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And that curse of the law really involves three areas. Number one, spiritual death, which, you know, Jesus took care of that. We were born again. How many people know that your flesh is not born again? Your flesh is the same as Joel natural over there that's never known Jesus. Your flesh is the same flesh as anybody in the city that's not born again. And if you're not careful, and if you don't take a hold of your flesh, I'm talking about your emotions and your mind and all that stuff, if you don't take a hold of that, it'll control your life. Yeah. And you'll be acting like you're not even saved. Yeah. You can smoke as much as you want, drink as much as you want, eat as much as you want. Lay around as much as you want. Get lazy. Yeah. And just obey your flesh and watch hockey all day long. Well, I'm just talking about two people in here, myself and somebody else. Watching reruns. If you're not careful, you'll resemble somebody who's not saved. You'll act just the same thing. The Bible says when someone said that, when someone does that, they're blind, spiritually blind. How many people know that Christians can be blind because their natural senses are blinding them to spiritual things? Last night, we were here praying for some time. We prayed for people in this service tonight. We'll have their eyes open. Your eyes are open, but they're sometimes closed on the inside. You do a good job impression of somebody who's awake. You know, that's why the Bible says, awake, O sleeper. So, you know, there's people who are asleep spiritually. But their flesh is a whole alive a lot because they just awake to that. Whatever impression they get or urge they get, they'll start to do what that is, you know. So we need to be understanding of that. So sometimes our flesh will take the driver's seat and control our lives. And so we have to understand that we're spirit, soul, and body. We've been redeemed because Jesus done it. We have to live in a physical body. We have to begin to control our urges and understand that we have power over them. There's nothing in this world can make you take alcohol or take drugs. Nothing. I don't care how much drugs you took in your life or alcohol or whatever it is. You can say no. Someone told you you can't say no. You believe that. Getting quiet in here. I'm serious. Like, you know, I mean, you might feel that way. You might even believe. You believe that so much that you'll obey whatever. You said there's no hope. But people that don't even come to this church or any church, they quit using because they never have Jesus in their life, but they still quit. But, you know, I'm not telling you to go and do that because you might die next time. You know, so... last week, you know, we had one of our young people from our community over here, from our First Nations community just down the road, pass away. Because just that one time again, we're going to use again, and never came back. You got one more time to fall off, but I don't know if you can come back. You don't know that. And that's what I was told. Some of it is sometimes true for some reason. But I understand this according to this scripture. Let's look at it. For verily I say to you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, so whatever that mountain is, it could be whatever problem it is. He said, who shall say, whoever says to this mountain. In other words, you have to be talking to your mountain to be removed and be cast into the sea. And then he says, and shall not doubt in his heart. And so we talked about doubting in his heart. We talked about what does that mean. We said, what does believing with the heart means? Let me just reiterate what that actually means. You know, we see that phrase in other versions or in other scripture because it's talking about, say, for instance, we take Romans 10, 9, and 10. Romans 10, 9, and 10, it says that, if thou shalt confess, he's talking about confession here. If you'll say unto this mountain, if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Is that up there? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus and shalt believe, notice that, shalt believe where? In your heart. Your heart is not your emotions. Your heart is not your mind. Who told you that you have to go by what you think about it? Who told you that your mind is boss? Because most people, you know, if over the years, if you find out our mind took us a lot of places where we shouldn't have gone. You know, when I got saved, they told me, you know, I lost my mind. Oh, he's crazy now. Worse off than he was. Thank God I lost my mind. I still be shooting up and doing all kinds of crazy things. You know, so thank God I lost my mind. I have the mind of Jesus. I have the mind of Christ. Everybody say, I have the mind of Christ. Notice it said, believe in your heart. Believe in your heart. See, he's not talking about believing with your eyeball, believing with your eardrum, not believing with your fingertips. It says believing in your heart. What do you have to believe? You have to believe this. That's the first thing, that God had raised him from the dead. How could you believe in something you cannot see? You weren't there. You were not even there. Huh? So he says, believe in your heart. I want you to see something here. The Lord alerted me to read the scripture. Let's go to, it's not in my notes there. I'll just kind of deviate a little bit here. John chapter, what is the last verse of John? Chapter 21? John 21, okay. Okay. It says in John 21, verse 25, there are so many other things which Jesus did, which if they should be written, everyone, I suppose, that even the world itself could not, world's book could not, you know, contain it. So there are so many things that are written, and yet we're told to believe a lot of stuff that we, you know, if you read something, if you read in the Bible, you know, we're told to believe it. These things are written, I believe it says somewhere there, that we might believe. We might believe. Over in 1 John talks about them. They're written so that we might believe. So, I want to get at this for a second. Let's go back to this thing here. Let's go back to Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you just go back to your notes back there. Okay. Let's go back there again. There it is. There it is, everybody. See? There it is. Everybody say, believe in your heart. First of all, the Bible interprets itself. So over in 1 Peter, it talks about in there that, you know, your heart is your spirit. Your heart is your spirit. You know, if you turn over here in the scriptures, let's go to 1 Peter, and we'll come back there, Pastor Dave. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. So anytime you deviate, get out of your notes, you'll be turning pages a little bit more. Is it, you don't mind turning pages? So, 1 Peter chapter 3, notice over here in verse 4. He says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. The Bible says the heart is the inner man, the hidden man, the man on the inside. Your spirit is your heart. So let me just say this. In 1 Thessalonians, you'll find this different scriptures. You'll see this, you know. Sometimes it's not as clear. You have to decipher it. It talks about in there that a man, a person, you and I, are three parts. First of all, everyone is a spiritual being. Everyone is a spirit being. We live in the physical body and we possess a soul. And so when you get saved, your spirit is born again. But your mind is not. Because the Bible tells us to renew our mind. Renew our mind. To do something with our mind so that we can start thinking what God thinks about things. We must, you know, take what we think about life and see what God says about it and agree with God. That's what it says, for, you know, in the Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Right? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Your heart is your spirit, your inward man. So when we see the term believing with your heart, you have to understand that it doesn't, your heart is not your emotions. You might feel another way. You might even think another way. But if your thinking is not in line with Scripture, then you're wrong. Because we have to go by principle. Like, say, for instance, you know, if a pilot is flying by instruments and they're called once in a while to go by instruments, you know what I mean by that, right? And they're flying in the air and it's foggy and they're going through the mountains and all, and they have to go by this. They're going by instruments. They say, well, you know, I don't see nothing out here. Let's just go fly over here. Let's just forget about this instrument here. And it says, doo, 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 doo. You know, just go higher, whatever it is. You know, they say, go higher, turn left, turn right. No, I don't believe that. I don't see anything out there. And so this is what we are in the natural as people. Your heart tells you, the Bible tells you certain things. You have to believe something in Scripture, but you don't agree with it in your mind. He said, well, I don't feel that way. Well, it has nothing to do with your feelings. Let me just say this. So believing with the heart, if you see that term, this is what we talk about believing with the heart. Believing with the heart means that you're going to believe God independent of sense, knowledge, evidence. And you believing with the heart means you're going to believe without seeing it yourself. Without feeling, I felt good. I felt the Lord. You know, and then if you don't get like everybody else, you know, and everybody's feeling God, and you're saying, man, I don't feel no God. I don't feel God at all. What's wrong with me? I'm hard-hearted, I guess. I'm not that spiritual. I remember one time, you know, Keith Moore used to drive Brother Hagin around. He said, and he's driving Brother Hagin. And he gets, Brother Hagin jumps in the back seat of the car. He says, "Woo! Did you feel that?" and he's sitting in the front seat, you know. He's thinking, what should I say? I didn't feel anything. I wanted to say, yeah, man, wasn't that wonderful? Woo! If the boss says he feels something, let's go ahead and start feeling it. You know? If I say I don't feel anything, he's gonna. If I say I do, then I'm lying. But then again, if I don't, he's gonna think I'm so unspiritual. I don't feel anything. What should I do? Then he says, "Well," he said, "No." He said, "Me too. I don't feel anything." And so, I guess he's just checking on him, seeing what he thinks. See, you know. So sometimes, you know, you see people around here, somebody, you know, he's shaking away, this guy's shaking, leave. You don't feel anything. Well, that guy's this fellow over here, that guy's laughing. Well, it doesn't really matter what people are doing. You see, sometimes we get our mind off, we get into some tangent that we want to see some manifestation. And so the church is into manifestation, they want to feel something. We don't always feel God. I remember the first time I got born again, I started, I'd never felt the things I felt. And when I didn't feel God, I thought, man, maybe I'm not saved anymore. And the devil get on you and say, yeah, you're not saved. You know? And if you did get a little drunk, people think you're fanatical. So you try very hard not to feel anything. And you're just about going to blow up any moment. And some people, you know, they're so shy, they don't want to let anybody know. They're about to blow up in 1,000 pieces. What are you laughing at? That's true, right? But then again, some folks, they never get that way. So they just try it out. And they fall over into the power. Nobody caught them. They get hurt. One time, this one person fell right over here, and you could hear, boop, just like a sack of potatoes fall on, you know, and everybody went gasped like this. We thought, she's dead. She was there for a long time. No usher rushed up to her. Want to pick her up? I was scared, too. Is she alive? We asked her after the service, did you get hurt? Or no? Oh, no, I never felt anything. You get a bump on the head? No, nothing. They must be concussed. They don't know nothing. And so, but here's what we're trying to say. When we talk about believing with the heart, we're not talking about if you feel anything, if you feel spiritual, a little spiritual feeling. Like people are looking for some kind of spiritual feeling to get to start believing God for something. And And so we get on these things because if we don't have Scripture, we don't know what to do. And so we want to be spiritual, and we want to feel something. It's not really not up to us if you feel something. Whether you feel something or not, God's still there. In fact, you know, you should just go ahead and give a dance by faith. But some people are so shy, they won't do it. If the Bible says shout, people say, they want to shout, but they're afraid. They're not supposed to do it. You're supposed to. We told you to. Listen, everybody give a shout. They're looking around. Everybody else is shouting. You know? But, you know, I mean, you know, you don't think anything wrong with it when you go to a ball game or something. You think, oh, this is very appropriate. Let's shout. Huh? Right? But in the church, we should shout because we have Jesus. The Bible tells us to praise. The Bible tells us to lift holy hands up. Let's try it. Just lift your hand and say, thank God. You're doing it by faith. This is believing with the heart. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God about it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. See, this is what you do. This is how you start believing. If you can do that, it's going to be harder for other things to do, to believe God. These are the small areas in which God teaches us to do. And to give a shout when you don't feel like it, you come to church mad, or you come to church, whatever emotion you have. So you're going to work, you're going to live on your emotion. You're mad at people, you're mad at, we talked about, you know, if you're going to believe God for anything, and if you got any kind of animosity, you're going to short circuit your faith. You know what the Bible says? You know, in this actual verse that we're looking at, Mark 11, in verse 26, he said, if you got anything against anybody, forgive them. The word forgive, in the Amplified, says, just go ahead and drop it. Just go ahead and let it go. Just go ahead and leave it there. Amen. That's what it says. Jesus said, you know, if you got anything wrong, you're praying, believing God for, I want to go home early. Please shorten my sentence. I'm here in the jail. But I hate those other people here. You know, just mad at them, whatever. And you know, you're mad at everybody out there, you know, going to get even with them. I'm in jail. I'm going to get even with this guy. I'm just make sure his tires are going to be busted all up. We say, you know, I forgive, but I will always remember. So we're, you know, if you're believing God, you must let things go because it'll affect your believing. If you have resentment against people, that'll affect your spiritual life. It'll rot out your spiritual life. Why am I saying this? Because, well, it's in there. But maybe you need to have to say this tonight. So, the Bible says the heart is a hidden man. You can't see the heart. But you have to use the heart to believe. Because the heart is used to believe for things you can't see. Your heart, when you believe with your heart, you have to, this is the way, when you believe with your heart that God had raised him from the dead, You didn't say, well, show me a picture. You know, I know this one is a little blurry, Paul says, or Peter, you know, I took one, Jesus was just coming out of the grave like that. Too bad this is a Polaroid. Jesus coming out, you know. No. I'm telling you this because I'm trying to illustrate something, because sometimes we think, you know, I gotta see it if I believe it. If I'm going to believe something, I need to see it. No, you'll never get blessings that way, ever. And we're going to talk about Thomas, what Jesus said to Thomas about doubting. You know, we're believing. So, let's go to first. We're still in Peter. Let's see what we can pick up on Peter here for a second. I think we need to look at First Peter chapter 1, I think it is. We're looking at First Peter. First Peter chapter 1. In First Peter chapter 1, we're in First Peter chapter 3. If you go to verse, let's see here. What am I looking for, guys? Am I going to 2 Peter? 1 Peter 3? No. 3? No. We were there, but I wanted to add on something else here. Okay, so, hang on. We have it here somewhere. What does it say, verse 8? Yes. Is that 1 Peter?
Yeah.
1 Peter, yeah, okay. I knew where we were, somewhere close by. I just felt that this is some scripture that we need to look at, because sometimes, you know, if scripture says, we read, you shall believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead. So if you're going by natural sense knowledge, you're saying, well, I didn't see Jesus. I wasn't there. Even my cousins weren't there. I trust them more than anybody else, and they were not there either. So you're believing on what somebody else said. Jesus said, these things are written that you might believe. That's what he said in John. You might believe. Look at 1 Peter. We're talking about believing with the heart. In verse 8, says, thank you for that scripture. Whom, having not seen, you love. In whom, though you see him not, yet believe him. You rejoice with unspeakable and full of glory. See, you. None of us, nobody here has ever saw Jesus. But you believe him as your Lord and Savior. Why? Because you believe the scripture. First Peter says, Paul said, this is how you get saved. You have to believe that God raised this guy called Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior. But you were not there. So you can't use your sense knowledge to believe. And so Peter says, you haven't seen him. You love somebody. How could you love somebody you've never seen? Jesus said, one way you love me is by doing what I told you to do. And believe in what I'm saying. He said, believe me what I said. I'm speaking on behalf of the Father, and anything I say comes from the Father. Like sometimes, you know, people get mad at Pastor Steve or something. I told Pastor Steve run something, and they get mad at him. You know, whatever, it's a music team, whatever, they get mad at him. I said, they get mad, they come to me, well, Pastor Steve said this, you know, and then I said, well, I'm with Pastor Steve. I told him to do that. We're one and the same. Jesus said, I'm one and the same with my Father. He said this. I'm telling you this because my Father told me. And anything we say from now on, that scripture, we should believe it. Now, the point is, verse 8, is that you're believing something you've never seen. Believing in a person you've never seen. That's the point. You're believing that God raised him from the dead. And anything that you get in this world, you have to believe for it. You have to believe that God heard your prayers. You didn't see your prayer go up. You didn't see Jesus, God, say, hey, listen, Jesus, this guy's been asking me that for a while. Let's give it to him. We didn't see all that, but it's happening. So, I want us to go to John chapter 20 here for a second. Remember Jesus in John 17, verse 22. He said, John 17, Matthew 17, 22. We'll go to where we're going to stay in John 20. In Matthew 17, 22, Jesus told his disciples, hey, listen, guys, we're going to go up to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be treated really badly. I'm going to be abused. I'm going to get killed. I'm going to get whipped, and I'm going to die. But 3 days later, I'm going to be raised from the dead. And the Bible says, and they all felt bad. They started to grieve. That's in Matthew 17. Then we see that he went through that whole ordeal. He went through all that. In chapter 28, if you look at chapter 28 here, you see, let's see if I can get the scripture here. In chapter 28, he says, let me just get chapter 28. I want to read the New Living here. John, Matthew 28, verse 16, the four verses here, verse 20. He says, when the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. They said, what? Is this Jesus? That's what they were saying. I can't believe what's going on here. Did you put something in the drinks, guys? I mean, I'm trying to put it in our vernacular, our modern day, because you know, we don't, you know, huh? So, the Bible says that's what happened to them. Some of them doubted. Jesus came and told them. His disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples. Then he goes on and tells them all about the Great Commission. And so, notice something else he said here. There's a few other things he said. That's Matthew 28. Then, in Mark 16, verse 14, Mark gives a little, a little bit more here. Mark 16, 14 says, still later he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused, listen to this, because they refused. Because they refuse to believe. I want you to understand about two things about unbelief. We gave you kind of definition last time from the original language. The word doubt, we said the word doubt itself has the root word from the word double. We said that, the other scriptures render it this way, as we read in James, he said he uses, the person who doubts. It's like the ship, and he's drifting away. He's swaying back and forth. He's going this way and that way. He said that don't let anybody think that if you doubt God, you ask God something, if you doubt, you're like that ship. You're wavering. And you're doubting. You're in and out. One day, man, I feel good. I trust God. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! And next day, oh man, oh, I'm fighting the devil himself. Hey, you just feel so horrible, so bad, like you're just, man, just, you can't lift your hand spiritually anymore to fight. Anybody ever felt that way? Man, just, oh, Jesus, meanwhile, you don't have to carry anything. Jesus said, hey, let me carry it. And here you go and carrying all those things. Oh, Lord, I'm having a hard time. Oh, Lord, I'm happy. Take it, Lord. Take it, Lord. Take it from me, Lord. Take it from me. Take it from me, Lord. Take it from me. Oh, hallelujah. Ha, 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 hallelujah. Oh. And this is the way people are living. We said we cast our care on the Lord. You're supposed to act like I don't have any. We did a study. We did a teaching months ago on, you have trucks going on the road. It says a bridge cannot take so many tons. Do not overload. And I think there's a lot of Christians have overload. Carrying, I got a hard time, man. I'm just carrying the family's burdens. I'm taking this burden. I'm doing this burden. I'm just, I'm trying to cast it on the Lord. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. The Bible said cast it on the Lord. Everybody say, I don't have any problems. Say, I'm carefree. Say, I don't have a worry in the world. See, this is where we should be, and yet you say that, and then you go, oh, I wish I could believe that. And when we say, you know, we just make a confession after every service. We try to make a confession every service, you know. If we don't do anything, we just say, everybody say this. Say, I'm free. I'm free. And everybody gets all high because everybody's saying at the same time, woo-hoo. Eh? And then you're tough with everybody else. We're the devil, man. And then when the devil comes, kicks your door down, you know, he walks in there and you're sitting watching your hockey game. And then you could, oh, the devil's here. Where's my phone number? I wonder where the pastor is. You think Pastor Dave's wrong? And, you know, and then you get scared. And then all of a sudden, you know, when you're in church, oh, God's a big God. Oh, he can do everything, anything. Woo! And drunk, man. And then you get home. God somehow shrinks. Because this is about emotions. Thank God we get a good feeling. But whether you feel that or not, you know, we're going to still believe God. It's still, the Bible's still true. So we're not going to doubt because I feel a certain way, because somebody said this guy died because he had something like that. Same thing you had. But this guy died over there. He got the same kind of problem you had. And somebody comes along and says, you know, my cousin had that and he died. They just, big encouragement. They could have said, you know, hey, you know what? You can fight that off. You know, and then you believe what they're saying. Hey, whose report are you going to believe? People say this all the time to me. Hey, pastor, pray that I get a good report. Well, what if the report's already written? And they showed a picture. It's you got something there, a little monkey hanging inside of you or something. Get rid of that monkey. Listen, you got two monkeys in here. One looks like he's pretty good. And the other one's like they're fighting over something here. You know, we want a good report, but, you know, listen, we need to stay on the good report. I can mention to you when those 12 spies went over, 10 people come over with a bad report. Two guys had a good report. Hey, we can do it, man. Let's do it. they were a little high. And they were just showing people, look what we got here. This is good fruit and everything, and everybody is scared. And everybody, it affected the whole nation for 40 years. And they all died in the wilderness, except two people in a new generation made it. 20 years and younger, they made it. They said, you know what? Everybody's going to die. We're all going to die. God says, because you said that, whatever you said, that's found in the 13th chapter there. Numbers. And he said, whatever you said in my ears, that's what's going to happen to you. Because they doubted. And notice in the Mark, the Bible says, because they refuse to believe. And I mentioned two things about unbelief. Number one is that, yes, you heard something, but you refuse to believe the word. How many scriptures and teachings are you going to get before you start believing? And so, there's two kinds of unbelief. One, I mean, I'm talking about when I'm talking about the description of unbelief. One is that if you've never heard something, you can't believe something, so you're going to have unbelief. And the only way you can undo that is teach people. Mark chapter 5, verse 6, 6, 5, and 6, one of them. But he went around, the Bible said they were all full of unbelief, and then Jesus went around teaching. The only way to get rid of unbelief is give people the word of God on a certain subject, and they'll begin to believe God. But if you don't have teaching of the word, all I want to do is sing songs. I had a guy here to tell me the other day, you know, he said to me, We better change, you know, some of our native services. Some of you maybe don't understand that. Sometimes in our culture, it's like they sing all day long and maybe have somebody preach, you know, by the end of the night somewhere along the line, about 11:30 when everybody's all tired out. You're saying you gave like 24 testimonies and just crying all over. Everybody is spitting and sweating and everything else, but they never heard no word. They're just happy, they never give no word. And he said, yo, we got to change this. That's what I've been trying to say a long time. If you put on a service and bring a bunch of musicians, everybody shows up. But if you put on a teaching service, 7 guys show up. Or a healing service. Or we're going to have a Holy Ghost meeting. Everybody, every charismatic comes there. But we're going to have a teaching service. Oh, well, let me get something. I don't know. See, we got to learn to put the Word of God first. So the utter unbelief, and it describes it very carefully in that chapter there. We give you a 13th chapter. And then in Hebrews, it gives a dissertation of what happened. And Hebrews chapter 3, they heard the word. The Bible says, but they refused to do anything with what they heard. It didn't profit them. Anything you hear will not profit you because you refused to do anything with what you heard. And anything you hear, you must put into operation, because if you don't, you're going to lose it. So, unbelief is when you refuse, as what Jesus said, they refuse to listen to it. They refuse. They just turn away. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Unless I see and feel. You know. So we need to take the word as it is and say, you know what, I believe the word. I believe the scripture. I believe the Bible, what the scriptures say. So we need to get on ourselves and ask yourself, am I really believing? Do I really believe the word of God? And look at yourself, evaluate yourself, how you feel about it, and say, well, it doesn't matter how I feel about it. I know I don't feel good about this, but listen, I'm gonna obey the word. And we're gonna see change in our lives. Things are gonna happen. Now, let's close out with that Hebrews chapter. Let's read the whole chapter together. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3 says, take heed lest, therefore, brethren, verse 12, lest any of you an evil heart, any of you of an evil heart of unbelief, departing from God. The Bible says that unbelief is evil. Why? Because it'll destroy your life. It'll destroy your life. Here's a story I want you to remember. Maybe you can write this down, read it later on. There's a story in the Bible, the 9th chapter of Mark. Jesus had told his 12 disciples, listen, I'm going to give you a healing anointing. I want you all guys to go and heal the sick. Jesus said, I'm going to give you that. You go out and heal the sick. That's fun. And, Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 10, he sends 12 out, and then he sends 70 out. They come back, and they're all happy. Woo, devils are subject unto us. And then they went out again. Other people went out. We saw one thing happen there. In Mark chapter 9, the Bible says, this guy came with his son to Jesus' disciples who were anointed by Jesus to go and heal the sick and cast devils out. And they brought that boy to the disciples who were told, literally told, to cast devils out and heal people. And they said, there was a big commotion going on. Jesus said, what's going on here? What's going on? What's happening? He said, this man says, listen, I brought my son to your dumb disciples. No, he didn't say that. I brought you to your disciples. And my son has a dumb spirit. And they could not cast the spirit out of this young boy. They could not do it. Yes, they had the power to do it, but they didn't. And how many of us in here have a problem and we can't get over it because of our unbelief? Jesus gave you and me, the Holy Ghost lives inside of us, to actually act on the word. And so he said, listen, he said, I told your disciples to cast them out, but they could not. Not didn't want to, but they could not. Jesus said it was because of their unbelief. And he told them, and the guy told Jesus, if you could do anything, if you could do anything. Jesus said, what? If I could do anything about it. It's not what I could do about it. He said, "Is what do you believe about it?" So the question is for you and me, is not what God, if God's going to do something about your problem, is what you doing about it. Are you using your faith? Are you using the word of God and taking that mountain and you doing something, speaking against it, not for it? And so Jesus said, you know what? All things are possible to him who believes, not doubts, believes. Not everybody who prays. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew, I think it's 21:22. He says in Matthew, he says, you know, all things are possible, you know, all, you know, when you're talking, come by prayer, all things are possible to him who believes when you believe in your prayer. Do you believe in your own prayer? In fact, a lot of things that the Bible says, anything in here, you don't have to pray about it. Like go on your knees and say, God. You don't have to act like that. Get up and tell God, thank you for this Bible. I'm coming to you in the power of the Holy Spirit into your presence, Lord. You've made me righteous. Thank you, Lord. And act like a man. Act like a man or woman who actually believes the Bible. And we've been trying to get people in this church for I don't know how long now, 2 decades? To believe the word. Believe. Don't run away from your trouble. Don't run away from your trial. Yes, you have a hard time. Yes, you got a problem financially. Yes, you got a marriage situation. Don't run away. Yes, your kids are out there on drugs. Yes, there's problems. Yes, you're going to have problems. As long as you live in this world, you're going to have problems. But you're not going to quit because someone died on you? When my mom died with cancer, I said, God, I believe in the Bible. I believe you're a healer. I'm still going to lay hands on the sick. My mom died, but I'm going to still believe. I'm still going to lay hands. I don't know why she died. I don't know what's in her heart. Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. To that man. It's not what I can do. It's what you can. What do you believe? That's the question. Don't doubt. Don't have two minds about it. Be relentless. The only way you can be relentless is to find out what's in there for you. Find out what the Bible says about you. Who are you? You're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ. When you start believing that, you rise up on the inside, your heart gets stronger. Oh, hallelujah. You know, the guy, when Jesus said that, the man said this, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. How could you believe God and yet still have unbelief? Let me just tell you something. Jesus told the man that this is something incredible. Even though you got doubt in your head, faith will still work in your heart. Amen. Doubt can come in your mind 1,000 times, but if I stay stable in my heart, I'm believing God. Listen, God's for me. I have a lot of problems here, but you know what? I'm coming through this. I know I look bad about it. I fell out, but I'm coming up. Glory to God. I know God is for me. Glory to God. He's for me. I'm not going to quit. Let me just say, faith. Everybody say, faith will work in my heart. Even with doubt in my head. Say, I'm not listening to my head. I'm listening to my heart. I believe God with my heart. listen, when you believe God with your heart, you're believing independent of sense, knowledge, evidence. Because you're believing in this. This is the instrument that you use flying high with God. This is how you know you have something. Before your body ever knows that you're healed, it's already there. I got it. Just tell the devil, listen, you know what? I know I've been sick for 17 years with this. I don't believe that anymore. I believe according to the word of God, when Jesus died on the cross, just like Isaiah 53 said, that God laid my sickness on Jesus. All the penalty, for sick, my healing has been on him. And I want to thank you, Lord, that whatever I need is provided. Begin to say that. Begin to say, the devil will tell you contrary. He said, no, you'll never make it. And he said, no, I'm making it. Don't listen. You see, your sense knowledge, your own mentality, limited for 45 years. This is eternal word of God. And you're trying to come against with your brain with this and say, you know what? I know better. No, the Bible knows better. You know, it's consistent. I met somebody last week, this week actually, a couple of days ago, went out for dinner. And he talked about there's so many inconsistencies in the Bible. And I don't know how people could believe the Bible. And, everybody has their own way. I let him talk for about an hour. And I paid his meal. Tapped him on the back, I'm glad to meet you. I didn't say you're wrong. I didn't say, you're a devil worshiper. You're going to go to hell. No, I just say, hey, listen, I enjoyed being with you. And I understand why he's that way. He said, I smoked for 60 years. I'm almost 80 years old, and I smoked for 60 years. I drank for many years, and he's my cousin. We sat down. We talked about different things. I wanted to talk with you, sit down with and talk. He just wanted to tell me what he thought, see? Because he sees me on television. He knows what I represent, and he told me everything what he doesn't believe about the Bible. I can't do anything for him. God can't do anything for him, but I'm believing God that no matter what, God's going to touch him and he's going to be born again. Amen. I believe God. God will touch him, and when nobody else can do it, God can do it. Amen. God will touch people. Amen? I believe that. I truly believe that God is faithful. Glory to God. Let's go ahead. I realize I preached a little bit longer. I'll give you that time back another time. But not tonight. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up. And thank God that you have another day of living. It's been a good day. It's been a sunny day. Hallelujah. Thank God that you can breathe. Thank God that you have life. You have a chance again. You got another chance to do something. Oh, God, I want to thank you that I didn't die. I want to thank God I'm not in jail. I want to thank God I didn't have to pop a pill and drink a bottle to be here tonight. I want to thank God I remember everything I did last night. I want to thank God I have a wonderful wife and nice children and a great church. I got opportunity. I got money in my pocket. Woo! And we're doing something together. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you. If there's anything in your life that's not exactly right, just begin to thank God. Because by faith, amen. I know you don't feel it. I know you don't want to do it. But you just do it anyway. Because be faithful to God. Say, God, you're faithful to me. You're faithful from every generation to generation. You're always faithful. Your word works now. It works back then. It will work over there. It worked for David. It worked for Paul. It worked for Thomas. It worked for all of them. It's going to work. It's working for me right now in Jesus' name. Thank God for it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Does anybody like to shout or something? No? Yeah. Does everyone want to go home? Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray for every person here in the name of Jesus that they'll know exactly as they travel this road, they know that this will work. I pray by the Holy Spirit that they will know exactly. If anybody here that's not born again, you can get born again right now. You can get born again tomorrow or any other time. You just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Come into my life. I didn't see you personally, but I believe the Bible. And I'm inviting you in my life. Save me. I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Heal my body. So I pray for every person here that has sickness in their body. I rebuke sickness and disease. I command that sickness to leave your body. Infirmity, you must go. Infirmity, you must go. Pain must leave your body. And I call this sickness, render it impossible to attack your body. And mend each part of their body, every nerve and every cell to regenerate healing and health. And I command money to come to you, employment to come to you, friendship to come to you. I employ in the name of Jesus that every devil, every assignment that's been laid against you, I command it and render it to be ineffective against you in the name of Jesus, that you will not die but live and declare the works of God. Thank you, Lord, for your favor in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to know if people here, if there's somebody here, I know just there's a few faces I haven't seen for a while. Does anybody here, is everybody saved here? Lift your hand if you're saved. If you know you're saved, you're born again, lift your hand. Yeah. This is amazing. Believe God. Say, I believe God. Even though some things are contrary. I'm like Abraham. I believe when things are hopeless, there's always hope with God. I believe God. I believe according to His word that it shall be so. I have what I need. I have more than enough. I'm going over. I'm not going under. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening, guys.